Welcome to the After 30 podcast. I'm your co-host, Tabitha Valerie, and today's episode is a follow-up episode to one we did a few months ago, where we learned about eating for your DNA with Dr. Lois Nahirny. In that episode, Lois walked us through DNA health testing and what kind of helpful insights it can provide about your genetic makeup that can help you to make better decisions about your diet, fitness, and health. We learned what's been happening in recent years that has made DNA health testing more accessible for all of us at home. So much so that we both got our own DNA tested. And today, Dr. Lois will be taking us through the results. We'll find out where we might be at a higher risk related to particular diet, fitness, and health choices. And like a blood test, some results may be particularly useful and telling, and others may show things are normal within range or provide confirmation of something we already understood about ourselves. We'll also ask a ton of questions that you've all sent in about this, and feel free to check out the episode on YouTube where you can see how the results are easily broken down by color and percent yourself. And lastly, if you'd like to get your DNA tested, which we wholeheartedly should suggest that you do, receive $50 off with code AFTER30 at the link in the show notes. Let's do it. Let's do it. Welcome. Hi. Or should I say doc? Welcome, Dr. Lois. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We're so happy to do this. This is going to be great. Okay. So before we dive right in to you taking us through each of our results, which we have seen, we're so excited and it's told us a lot. Some of it's a bit confronting, but that's cool. Let's start. Okay. So this was amazing. We have to say, Lois, because we had so many people ask us questions about this. And so we kind of sum them up. And I think we've got about four or five questions that we just want to ask you before we go through. Hopefully we'll get all of these answered. So I'll kick it off with the one about if someone has had the, what is it? The 23andMe. And how is this different?
Okay, absolutely. So again, what we focus on at DNA Power and what we looked at for you was everyday health factors. So things like diet, fitness, and health, things that you can do something about, things that help you to be healthier as you're living your life. So that's really the entire focus of our company is how do we help you be healthier? So when you do a 23andMe test, that usually the number one thing people are looking for is their ancestry. And so they're looking for, and it's wonderful. I've done 23andMe, Ancestry.com. I've done all of them because of course I love this stuff. And it's really fun finding out where, you know, where your relatives came from, you know, ages ago.
So
it's really cool, but you can't do anything with it. So now both of those do offer some traits. So you can find out if you have wet or dry earwax, you can find out, you know, there is a few little areas that overlap with our tests. And in 23andMe, they do disease markers, but it tends to be a single gene disease markers. And so, you know, those are kind of flags that it can be useful to know, but you still don't do anything with it. So what we know in the work that we do is that when you can manage your day-to-day health and work with your body versus against it, you're just going to be healthy. You don't even have to worry about some of these other rare things that could come up because they just won't arise.
Okay, cool.
Your body wants to be healthy. And so what we're trying to do is we're just trying to say, how do you work with your body, not against it? And if you do, you're going to live a long, healthy life.
Fantastic. Okay. So how, in addition to the 23andMe test, like how does this differ from a blood test?
Well, the good news is you don't have to do a blood test, but you guys it was just a Q-tip. You just take the thing out of the package, you rub it on the inside, pull it apart, put it back in. So it's mailed to your home. You rub your cheeks, you put it back in the package and you send it back. So, you know, there's no blood, no spit, no mass. You just got to do this. Don't eat for 30 minutes. We don't want all of your lunch on the tip. But other than that, you just send it in. So it's super easy, you know, from that perspective.
Right. But then in terms of like what a blood test is going to tell you versus what this DNA test tells you, can you talk a little bit about the differences there?
Oh, good question. So a blood test gives you markers on your body today. So we know you go for different blood tests because you're measuring certain things and your blood can only tell you so much, but you're trying to say, where is my body today on, you know, whatever this factor might be, my platelet counts or my white or red blood cell counts or ferritin levels for many of us as women who are trying to, you know, watch our iron or something like that. And you can maybe test a few vitamins, but not all of them, only a few. And so blood tests are giving you a point in time of where your body is at.
Got it.
With DNA, we're getting your biological roadmap. You're born with this. It's in every single cell in your body. It doesn't change, but it's your makeup. It's the code that tells you where your body wants to go, where it's strong and where it's weak. So you only do it once.
Yeah.
That's the great thing. So you, why wouldn't you get your body's roadmap like now?
Yeah.
And then you have it forever. You don't. And then it gives you the direction to look in if for some reason something does go off the rails.
That's totally right.
Okay, so that's cool. That's, I think, really clear. Mm-hmm. Okay, another question we had towards the end, particularly in the brain section, because you'll go through it, it's split into four different sections. I think it's diet, vitamin, fitness, and brain. So in the brain one in particular, there's some comments and some, you know, you can test on Parkinson's and Alzheimer's in particular have been pulled out. So couple questions around why those in particular and why some other hereditary illnesses, like I'm thinking like sickle cell disease or Huntington's disease, are not included.
Great. Hmm. Super question again. Well, I mean, first and foremost, I put Alzheimer's in because I wanted to know for me.
Right. Okay.
So, and, but I would say more significantly than that is that we're learning that there are many of these diseases have a huge dietary component or a lifestyle component. If you were to search up Alzheimer's, you would see many things that call it diabetes 3. And that's because there's huge links in it. It's related to how plaquing occurs in your body. And if you have a combination of two genes, it leads to cholesterol issues, which creates plaquing. And we see patterns where families either have heart disease or Alzheimer's.
Interesting.
And the reason it's so important is because we absolutely believe you can completely manage it and that you do not have to be at risk. And so I would say when I do people, about 25 to 30% might have something pop up in that area. And it's the most important one that if you did changes to your lifestyle now, that you would change your life, the end, particularly the end of your life, dramatically. And so that's why I actually love that one the most of the whole test is the Alzheimer's. To be honest, the Parkinson's particular two genes are very rare. We've rarely seen them come up, and it's only been in families where they already knew there was some Parkinson's.
Right. Okay.
But it's also related to diet. So there is that neurological. And so we can always take those tests, like we can blanket out of your, you know, the results if someone doesn't want to know if they're worried. But I can tell you, everybody who, you know, A, it's some people are relieved and other people are, thank gosh, I know. Here's what we've got
out
with. Yeah. And we have an Alzheimer's or APOE diet that we help people with.
Oh, cool.
Fantastic.
Okay. I want to make sure I understand that correctly. So basically you're saying Alzheimer's and Parkinson's have been identified because there is still something you believe you could be doing about it. Whereas some of those other ones and some other hereditary diseases that I kind of mentioned.
Exactly. So sickle cell anemia, cystic fibrosis, that's the tiny few genetic diseases that the genetics absolutely take you in a direction.
You almost can't do anything.
So, yeah.
5%. It's like thalassemia. Like when you have thalassemia, for example, it's unavoidable. It's in your genes kind of.
Exactly. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Everything else you can do something about. And so we're focusing on the ones you can do something about. You don't need to worry about if you can't do anything about it, then.
There is something that I was extremely interested about, which, especially since we were going on, you know, with you and talking about our own specific data profiles and, you know, what does that look like for us, like long-term in terms of data privacy? Like once our stuff is out on YouTube, I mean, like the world will know, like it's on the internet.
Or even like for anybody who gets their tests with you, right? Like, DNA information is incredibly useful for certain companies and certain, you know, there would be
what is that
motivation
look like
to have this information. So what is, like to your point, Anise, what's the privacy laws around this?
Totally.
So, two important points. There are genetic anti-discrimination laws in Canada and the US. They can't even ask for your genetics and you cannot be discriminated against them.
Okay.
So those are both in law in Canada and the US. You just, if an insurance company asks, you don't have to give it. And frankly, on our results, if you got, for most of them, you know, if you've got a bad carbohydrate genes, like what are they going to do? you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Second point I do want to mention though is that with our company, we never sell your data. It is double encrypted.
Great. Okay.
It can't be accessed. Nobody could do anything with it. We only collect exactly what we need. And so most of the other companies sell their data. That's actually why they're in business. And so just so you know, be careful when you go elsewhere, just to watch that.
But ours is okay.
We're 100% here simply to give you the data that helps you. If someone got the letters that we put through the lab, your name is never associated with it. It only comes together in your account for your file.
Okay.
So
great.
And just to really tell everybody, when we took our DNA test, there's like a specific serial code. It's quite hidden. When the test goes out, the person who's testing probably wouldn't even know it's connected to you, that kind of
thing. Yeah, good call.
Not a bit. It's just, you couldn't do anything with the data other than what we do with it. So it just keeps it safe. Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Great.
Okay, let's shift into going through the results. Okay. So if you guys are listening, you should definitely peep this on YouTube, because for season 3, we've launched on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And this part's really cool because Lois is actually showing split screen our results, and it's really, really easy to decipher. It's like they've broken it down. Red is bad, green is good. And then it's really easy to tell. So Dr. Lois will go through now, but it's cool if you actually want to see it on YouTube.
And we'll try and use the words so that somebody listening can follow along as well.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Amazing.
So now just to say, you get a lot of information. So this is the summary report that we're reviewing. You get 4 other reports. There's 250 pages of information.
Yeah.
I would say what you do though is you're only targeting the pages that are important for you, where you're red, where you need to learn more about staying healthy. And so this one provides a summary of both. I've got Anissa's on the left and I've got Tabitha's on the right. So we're just going to dive in. The first page tells you a little bit more about, you know, what's in the reports, how we test. There's the 4 reports. As you mentioned, Tabitha, green is good and red is where you've got variations. It's not bad. It's just your be careful areas. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get there. And so we're going to start by, first of all, looking at your diet. And the diet, the key thing everyone is always trying to answer is, should I be on carbs, fats, proteins, keto, Palm Beach, vegan. Like what type of diet, vegan, what should I be doing? Isn't that, and some people swear by one diet, swear by another. And in fact, it's so funny when I actually test certain people who swear by a certain diet, it's because they figured out what worked for their body.
That's right. Mm. Exactly. And it's so interesting.
Whenever anybody says, oh, what diet should I be on? For me, the answer is always, it depends. It depends on your genetics. So what did you inherit? What's right for your body? How do you work with it? So if we take a look at the reports, just so you know, they're generally about 30% red. That's normal. These are really common variations in the human population. That's why we know a lot about them. That's why we test for them. And that's why we're making them available to you. Okay. So if we take a look, we're looking at carbs, fats, and proteins primarily here. And for the most part, you know, Anise, yours looks pretty good. It's heavily green with one area on. Interestingly, it's a little bit less common to have dietary unsaturated fat where it's red. In fact, for Tabitha's, it's a bit more common where we see dietary saturated fat. So variations. So if we look
what's the difference between those two?
So saturated fats are the fats that kind of congeal at room temperature. So they're in dairy, in meats, in red meats, in coconut oil. Versus the ones that are liquid at room temperature, it's the healthier fats, is unsaturated fats.
Okay.
It's in avocados, in nuts and seeds, in almonds, flax oils, chia seeds. Those are the healthier unsaturated fats. And we all need fats in our diet. So even though both of you happen to be quite red on fats, you still must have healthy fats in your diet. It's very important for the brain. Because you're red in fats, it means your body reacts even more negatively, potentially, to bad fats. So things like, you know, fast foods, fried foods, the polysaturated stuff that's in cookies and crackers and dressings. So that's the stuff you both need to be careful about.
Okay. So interesting. It's so interesting that you say that, because there are even things that I'm not attracted to. Like, I don't love fried food. I don't love, you know, okay, I do love French fries, but you know what I mean? Like my general tendency is, like, over time, as we discover, there's a lot of things that we don't like, and that's actually our body speaking to us. So that's so amazing.
Exactly. And you have to listen to your body. And the problem is if you eat too much of the bad stuff, your gut gets used to it. And the gut sends messages to the brain that said, feed me more fat, and it'll override your body's knowing and kind of you crave. The more you get your gut out of balance with bad fats, sugars, alcohols, your brain, those bacteria crave it, send a message to your brain and start eating it, even though you know you don't feel great.
That's right.
Interesting. Wow. Okay.
And so, I mean, in the end, we'd always say, listen to your body. And if you already know when you get your results back, then you were listening to your body.
And you know, right. Insane. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. Both of you, I would never put you on a keto diet. It's just your body doesn't break down the fats easily enough. And so keto, I've seen people who keto is beautiful for, but in your case, no, it just would be, your body would struggle over time. We see most people lose weight on keto initially, but then you would have a tendency to get fatty liver because you don't have the genes to break it down properly. And so we see health impacts for people who have your genetic setup over time.
This is a niece, right? That you're talking about?
Well, actually both of you, because you both have fat genes that aren't the best. Now, amazing. In addition, so that's really in this, that's the key message for you, Anise. You have good macronutrient genes, other than be a wee bit careful with your fats and just generally, there's a little bit in your cholesterol, LDL, just watch that over time, but it's low enough just to be careful there. And interesting that you, if I'm going to pop down here to body mass index, super green, your family has naturally slimmer genes, with the exception, we do see that people from the Indian continent that come to North America and adopt a Western diet and generally aren't set up as well for these fats and lactose. We'll see them put on weight, but you have great genes for, you know.
Interesting. Skin. No, that's a great point. Thank you so much for sharing that.
And then for you, Tabitha, it's interesting because you'll see it's quite red here on protein need and on protein weight response. So when somebody's red
on protein weight response, for everyone listening, 100% red. So it's not good.
Now, to be fair, we're only testing one gene there. So it kind of overrepresents it a wee bit.
Okay, good to know.
But it's a really important gene. Only 6% of the population actually have it where it would be all red like that.
Okay.
And so if you were to be doing a super high, like a bodybuilder's protein diet, you wouldn't be putting on the weight the way you want it to. It would it just doesn't work that well. We test this with bodybuilders. But because protein need is red, your body doesn't absorb the protein as easily. So you need more protein more frequently in more easily digestible amounts during the day, which means you potentially do better on plant-based proteins.
Great.
And having it more frequent. And so when I see this, I love to say, get something yummy, like, you know, the Kilimanjaro mix or one of these great seeds and nut mixes and just snack on it so that your body can get that bit of extra protein throughout the day to give you the energy that you need.
Cool. Amazing.
Yeah. And so, you know, seeds and nuts, beautiful for you. And again, you'll see that there's recommendations later in the report where it'll tell you what to do where you're red.
Great.
You'll see here on body mass index that you have a 50-50 red. You probably had in your ancestors people who went through a starvation phase and learned to take fat and keep it on in order to survive. So you're here because your ancestors actually have a gene variation that kept you alive.
Wow, crazy.
But in this modern age, for those in your kind of, you know, relative base, they need to be a bit more careful about putting on weight because it'll be harder to lose.
And when you say putting on weight, oh, that's just in general. Like, it's like you can't tell where, like you can't tell if that's in relation to the protein. You would
In your case, it's probably because I know your genetics, it probably factors into a portion of your family. You want to be saturated fats, fat foods, fast foods and fried foods would cause your family to probably want to put on weight and then it would be difficult to take off.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Good. Okay. So that's the macronutrients. Now we're going to go into food tolerances. So now we're going to take a look at some fun stuff like alcohol, caffeine, gluten, lactose, salt, and sugar. Now you guys are both all green on alcohol and caffeine. So lucky you.
So good. Cheers.
So good.
Cheers to that. I just put my hands up in the air for those of you listening.
Well, and there, Tabitha, having your glass of wine. Perfect. Yeah. No worries.
Yeah.
No worries.
Got it.
And your gluten is good. You neither of you have the genetics that set you up for gluten sensitivity and intolerance. It doesn't mean you can't still make that happen in your gut, because our breads have been GMO. There's too much grain that has higher gluten. And when we eat North American breads, it's hard on our gut. Mm-hmm. And so some people can get gluten sensitivity just because they've weakened their gut. But they don't have the genetics. So it's, in your case, you don't have the genetics. If you ended up with an issue, you would just need to be strengthening your digestive system.
Okay.
However, now we look at lactose and salt, and you're both red there. Mm. And so lactose, you are not gifted with the genes that break this down easily. And so the body wants to break foods down. So even when it's red here, your body will try to break it, you know, will try to deal with it. Your gut bacteria will try to take care of it. Mm-hmm. But you just have to be aware that if you eat a lot of, you know, cheeses and milks, et cetera, you're probably going to get some bloating. You're more likely to have and because it doesn't break down, you're more likely to get inflammation, which might end up in joints over time or putting on weight. So if you can't break it down, where's it going to go? It's going to go into inflammation or weight or something. So for both of you, be careful how much you have, or, you know, be sensible when you have your cheese, like have it, you're better off with, aged cheese, because it comes with its own bacteria then.
That's right.
Okay.
Or amazing. Have really good prebiotic food in your gut so that you can be, that your gut can take care of it because your genes can't.
Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Good. And so salt, oh my gosh. So for you, Anise, be careful with salt. We all need a little bit, but only eat super healthy salt, because in your case, it could lead then potentially to some stroke or blood risk over time.
I find this so interesting, like a salt sensitivity, you know, so fascinating.
Anise's is fully red in salt for everyone. Yeah.
It means that, so you do just have to be a bit careful. Down below is food preferences. You have some genes that don't taste it all that well. And body does need salt. So you don't go to nothing, but only use real good quality mineral salt if you're going to have anything. And you don't want it, again, in the crackers and fast foods. It's hard on your body.
Understood. Okay.
And yours is 50-50, Tabitha, so be a bit careful there. And then when I look back at Anise's, you've got this red on sugar craving, so be careful. You might be tempted to have a sweet tooth.
Yeah, so everybody's who's listening, I have a hard time resisting, really, I really do have a hard time resisting sweet food. And Tabitha's has no issue.
See, that's so fantastic. That is so interesting, because I would have normally said that I am the same as you, Anise. Yeah. So this is so interesting, because there's such a little mental game that goes on with this too, right? Because right after I got these results, I'm like, oh my God, I'm an emotional eater. But now I should change that language and be like, oh my God, I can say no to sugar. I don't actually need that sugar, you know, like
there you go.
It plays into it a little bit. And I feel like that is amazing. That is really interesting. Yeah.
Do you know, in the end, all of this is to help make it, you know, to make, help us understand why we should make certain decisions and support the decisions. People who do a DNA diet have better, longer lasting results because they know why they're doing something. They know it supports their body. But in the end, it comes down to your brain and how you see things. And if you come at things positively and knowing you want to be healthy to your, you know, absolutely.
And how amazing that you're talking now about being in this era and we're able to talk about a DNA diet, like so good.
Cool.
So food taste and preferences, it just lets you know where you might have some interest. So you probably don't taste bitter food all that well, and yours are a little bit all, you know, just different things. It's just a fun part. I do want to note the next section though, which is about vitamins. So on the vitamins page, both of you have decent vitamin genetics. So that's not too bad. When we see them really, really red, usually you need more support. All the same, based on our diets these days, it's good to have a multivitamin.
Right.
You're 50% anise in several Bs. So it wouldn't hurt for you to consider taking a complex vitamin B just to be sure you're getting enough. We'll see it in the next section that it actually would help you to take some Bs.
Amazing.
And also a little bit in calcium for both of you, but we prefer plant-based calcium. With your case, you want to be sure that you don't get anemic anise. Just so you do need to be sure you're getting enough support through your food. And then here, you do need some healthy fats in your diet. So that's really your message here on the vitamins. You know, you can get vitamins for your DNA, believe it or not. It's on our website. And it's just a way of saying, where might my body need more support over time?
Right. Yeah.
And so in general, it's pretty good for both of you. You know, yours is just vitamin B6. In general, pretty good, Tabitha. For your results. And plant-based.
So you would really say out of this, like, just stick with a multivitamin is essentially pretty good. What you would. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course, though, I would tell everybody in Canada to take vitamin D and even in
Right. Canada. Okay.
So we all need vitamin D. It's great for your immunity, as is vitamin C, especially during cold and flu season, which is also COVID season.
Yeah.
You know, right. Okay. So just be taking your vitamin D, well demonstrated to help. Yeah. Good.
Cool.
So the next pages are all the recommendations. So every place that you were 50% red or more has a specific recommendation customized for you here to look at, to consider. And so you can go through those, but Anise, you'll see you need a bit of a lower fat diet. You want to avoid milk and dairy products, low salt intake, and just watch sugar. and then Tabitha, yours is on watching saturated fats and get more plant-based protein in your diet. And that'll help you stay healthy.
Cool.
Fantastic. And a little bit more about
Wow. All right.
Yay. Amazing.
So that's your food.
Fantastic.
Now we're going to move into things that we hear about commonly in the news, like detoxifying or hormones, inflammation, and a process called methylation, which is how your cells use the energy. And you'll see a bit more red here in some of these results. It's actually not bad. Both of your results, they're okay. They're about middle of the road. Both of you could use a little bit of detoxification support. It's really just having an antioxidant diet, which is good, colorful fruits and vegetables. And getting exercise, because that helps your body detoxify. So both of you will respond very well to doing that.
Okay. That seems like that would be the case for everybody. That like everyone would benefit from a high detoxifying diet and a lot of exercise, right?
Well, but if it's really green on detoxification, those people are the ones who get away with doing nothing.
Mm. Okay.
You know, we all know people who are healthy and really don't deserve, you kind of sure, go, sure, come sure. on. So this is the background processes. And problem is a lot of this starts to come out in your 40s and your 50s. So your 30s is where you want to know it so you don't create problems, chronic disease for your 40s and 50s. So hormones, a little bit red here, Anise. What I would say on this is just for both of you, there's just a little bit in both of these where you want to watch, you know, for how, you know, for women, any women listening to this, you want to watch if you're a bit red here on your birth control method, that you're not bringing too much estrogen in your body and that it overloads your body and puts you into hormonal imbalance. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can test for that at naturopaths, et cetera. But this shows you that both of you should be just a wee bit careful on managing your hormones. Diet and other stuff there just to look at as well in the recommendations. In inflammation, Anise, you have higher inflammation genes. So that means if something goes out of whack, your body could respond through being a bit overly anxious on inflammation. And we know inflammation can link into chronic disease.
Right.
So an anti-inflammatory diet, very good for you. Again, lots of good fruits and vegetables. You can see why this is important for you. It's not that, this might be good for me. You can see in your case, here it is in green and red. This is important for you.
Mm-hmm.
Not as bad for you, Tabitha. And then this last part, methylation, is how your cells use the vitamins and the nutrients. And you benefit from, just like it said in your vitamin report, a bit more B vitamin complex. And a little bit here for you, Tabitha, a little bit of, if you're ever feeling tired, do a little bit of Bs. They would help you out.
Okay. Interesting.
Good to know.
That's interesting because about a year ago, I started moving into more of a plant-based diet and I would never call myself a vegan because I definitely have a lot of cheese, but I went the same time when I did that, I started taking B12, and I would have never taken B12 before that. And it was incredible the difference I felt in my energy.
Really?
Like I had to nap every single day. I was so exhausted on the first couple of weeks of being plant-based only. And so
that's amazing. Really, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. I think I've heard that before. A lot of people just go and get their B12 shots if they eat more plant-based. I've heard that before.
Yeah. Yes, right. I'm a big believer in, so you're completely right. If you're plant-based, and I'm a huge advocate of plant-based diets, you need to find ways to get your vitamin B up. So use the vitamin B, the nutritional yeast. Do take a complex B. And I'm a big believer as well in the IV vitamin drips whenever you're tired or feeling exhausted.
Right. Both for
immunity and for if you're, you know, if you're just feeling tired for any reason.
That's amazing. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm into it.
I try to go once a month because I just feel great.
Wow.
Okay. I'm into it. Vitamin IV. Tabs, you and I should do one of those together.
Yeah, girl, let's do that. Instead of going for a drink, let's go for a vitamin D. Let's normalize that.
Best addition to your health program you could possibly do. Just because we're busy, where our stress burns up vitamin Bs, it burns up nutrients, and our food is sometimes a bit weak. We're a bit rushed.
Yeah, of course.
So this gives your body the top up to be optimum.
Okay,
I love it.
You guys both have great fitness genes. So
fantastic.
You know, knock your socks off.
It was actually. And so this is a similar question I have to what I was saying earlier. When you say we've got good fitness genes, what would it look like if somebody has bad fitness genes? Hmm.
Depending on where it's a problem. So we see Anise should do more, needs to spend more time managing her ligaments to be sure she doesn't have troubles over time. For you should probably just be sure between workouts, you have enough time for muscle repair. And let's say you had a blood pressure issue, then you'd want to be checking your blood pressure a bit more often. If you have energy availability issues, you want to eat before working out. Mm. And those recommendations are in the report.
Amazing.
Cool. Yeah. You both want to just be a wee bit careful on heart cardiovascular over time, but the recommendations are there. And finally, our mental wellness. Yours both good, other than you've got one little red one there, Tabitha.
This is my favorite one out of the whole report.
Oh my goodness. So it is only a single gene, but it is linked to.
What do you mean when you say that, actually, Lois?
Most of our things are a combination of genes that contribute to whether you can manage carbohydrates. In this case, it has only one, and so it's the results of several genes put together. This is one gene. And so when it's one gene, it gets a bit over-exaggerated.
Yeah, I see. Got it.
But it does definitely tell a story. And so it's like up to us how to put that together in our minds, right? Like you were talking about earlier, Tabs, you were like, well, maybe I can say this rather than this. So that's amazing too about this.
So this one gene that we're talking about is that mine, I am the 100% red in emotional eating. Dr. Lois, please tell me what that means.
When you just want to have healthy snacks around your health, especially if you're feeling stressed, go do yoga, go for a walk.
Mm. And so this is amazing to me because when I read that, I'm like immediately, well, surely everybody feels like that. I couldn't wait to see Anise's. And then sure enough, Anise is 100% green. So Lois, this is something that you could be, even though it's one gene, you could be 50-50, 60-40?
No, you can only be, because it's one gene, you can only be all green, 50-50, all red.
Got it.
The other ones have multiple genes. So
understood.
So again, the recommendations are there. You both have got good Alzheimer's genes, no problems, a little bit on concussion. So just take care if you ever have a concussion. And that's it. So, you know, really.
Wow.
Round of applause.
Thank you so much for that. And like you said, this is like how many pages between all of the different reports?
About 270.
Oh, like there's so much there. And it's very cool because in, like you said, each of those areas of red, it goes into more detail as to what actually that means for you. And so there's the information is incredible. And we really encourage everyone to go after this because one thing that really struck me last time we were talking, Lois, is that when you were saying that so many of your clients are coming to you because they've got some kind of issue that they're trying to get to the bottom of. And I found that was probably the biggest thing that I really took away from what we did last time is that, oh my God, get it done now if you have no issues so that you can really use this as preventative health. And I felt like I was like texting everyone that I love in my life being like, get this, you know,
this is really a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. Totally, Tabs. I think one of the cool things about this is that there's going to be something that surprises you. There's going to be something that you're going to learn. Mm. Like, we know ourselves well, you know, we're like after 30, we know our bodies well, but this DNA report is really interesting because there's pieces of information that you can pull from that are going to sort of benefit you in the long term. So I loved that part too.
That's the best part, like versus the blood test. Like, I thought that was interesting that that's a moment in time. Like, this is it. This is what you're, this is your DNA. I think it's.
For sure. For sure. Well said.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for taking us through this and for giving us this opportunity. We're really, really grateful.
Terrific. We really are.
You've got your roadmap to be healthy for a lifetime. So it's been so fun to go through it with you. So I'm going to afterwards make sure you print out your action plan pages and have your list of the stuff you need to do.
I love it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Naharne. Thank you very much thanks everybody for listening and watching. We're on YouTube now. We'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.